welcome to Pentecost Today podcast. I'm your co-host, Steve Mancini. And as always, I'm joined by the executive director of Pentecost Today USA, Alicia Hartle. Alicia, welcome.
Thank you so much, Steve. We're humbled to be part of this mighty work of the Holy Spirit and really to bring testimonies and witnesses of the grace of baptism in the Holy Spirit and the charismatic gifts in individuals' lives and ministries. And, you know, each week I think I'm just undone by the grace of the witness. And it's, you know, I think it's extraordinary for all of us who whether we have lived life in the Spirit for decades or maybe most of our lives, or if we're just discovering this grace for the first time, each time we hear a testimony, it really is a bringing forth of what we see in Romans by the word of their by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they overcame, for they did not love their lives so much as to fear death. You know, there's this grace that is brought forth in this furthering of the kingdom of heaven as we hear testimonies. So it's a great gift to us. And if you all were with us on our last episode, you met Father John Gordon. Father John Gordon is a newly elected board member of Pentecost Today USA, though he has served two terms as a board member of the National Service Committee of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal of the U.S., which is now called Pentecost Today, some years ago. And so, Father John, we are very humbled to have you here with us. Father John is joining us from the Archdiocese of Newark, where he serves as the director of the Office of Evangelization. And he has worked for many, many years in different aspects of really evangelization and fueling life in the Spirit through his involvement with different prayer groups, with the People of Hope in New Jersey. He has worked in some campus ministry while working at Franciscan University and just has a beautiful and diverse grace of bringing forth pastoral care into the body of Christ.
Thank you.
that was your cue. No. Again, Father John, we appreciate it very much.
Who are you talking about? Who's coming on the show now?
The awkward pause. No. That's good. But again, always before we start, since you're a returning guest, Father, the last time I believe we did this, I kicked off the prayer. But I think since you're a returning guest, I would be humbled and appreciative if you would kick off the prayer, because again, everything we do is service to God himself. And so, you know, we're trying to serve the body of Christ and we're all out here just trying to do our part. And so praying is obviously a way to talk to God. And as Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name. I mean, I've taken that to heart. So every chance I get to pray with a group of people, I go, I know he's here because we're trying to talk to him and he told us he'd be here. So we know he's here. So if you would please going to get us started with a prayer that, you know, that what we're doing is ultimately in service to the Lord.
I'd be very honored to do that. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Lord God, we do praise and thank you, rejoice in you, delight in you. You are holy, you are worthy. Even in the season of Lent, which we find ourselves today, Lord our God, we have cause for joy because you have defeated the enemy, you have brought the victory, and you have given us your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that through this podcast, which is just a sharing, a scattering of seed, we don't know who listens to this, we don't know who responds to this, but Lord, we just know that we need to do this. We need to proclaim your gospel. We need to speak the truth. We need to create an environment, Lord God, where people can hear the truth, they can receive you into their hearts, and you can speak to them and protect them and reveal yourself to them. And so we pray, Lord God, that we do this well. We do this to your honor and glory. And let it be, Lord God, in such a way that your name is proclaimed, your love is more widely known, and the people who listen to this grow in faith, hope, and love. We ask this, Lord God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father John. You know, we open each episode with a quote from the Doctrinal Commission on Baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we're working through the characteristics and fruits of baptism in the Holy Spirit. And one of those fruits, which we started discussing last week, is really this ignition of evangelization that is set ablaze in hearts and minds and lives and ministries of those who receive baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so this week we are reading from page 26, and we see just this powerful quote: the spiritual dynamism unleashed by baptism in the Holy Spirit is part of a particular importance in the context of Pope John Paul II's call for a new evangelization, reinforced by Pope Benedict XVI's establishment of a pontifical council for the new evangelization, and by Pope Francis' apostolic exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel, Evangelii Gaudium. And so, you know, there's a beautiful reflection that's unpacked in this whole section about how it is the Holy Spirit who carries out the role as the principal agent of evangelization. And so, Father John, we want to welcome you again to just share a reflection on that quote.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Alicia. Thank you, Steve. I'm very glad to be here once again. For our listeners, it's just a great joy to be here. And the work of the Holy Spirit is absolutely fundamental to what it means to be a Christian, a Catholic. The Word of God tells us that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so it's not just a matter of saying the words, but living this truth that Jesus is Lord, which is the first creed, as it were, Jesus is Lord. And when for that to happen, for people to live in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, they need to experience the power of God. And this is, I think, with a very essential element of the new evangelization. If we're going to leave it to apologetics or to philosophy or to adult faith formation programs, all of which are good, all of which are valuable, all of which can be very, very beneficial. But if we kind of do this kind of man-made, as it were, based on our wisdom and experience and knowledge, and we have quite a bit, as it were, and not rely in an expected way, in a realistic way, really leaning into the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when we teach about how to deal with suffering, we need to invite people to pray that God would heal their suffering. When we pray, when people are experiencing devastation in their lives, we need to invite them to realize that God is attentive to that, and not merely as kind of like a bystander, like, oh, you poor thing. Well, one day, hopefully you get to heaven and that'll be better. But that God is actively involved in our lives. And when we pray that way, even if the people do not experience the healing power of God in that situation, their faith grows. You know, one of the things that's a hallmark of certain elements of the charismatic renewal is these various healing services or healing masses. And I remember at one point earlier on, there were some people that were very cautious about that, partly for good reasons, that it not be ostentatious and showy and focus on the gift and not the giver. But at the same time, others suggested that the challenges to the people who are not healed, how they are so hurt and frustrated. But my experience of people going to these healing services is that even if they are not healed, but others are, they walk away with a renewed faith, a renewed fire, a renewed vibrancy. And they're like, yes, God is at work. And maybe today wasn't my moment, but I trust in a God who breaks in, who heals, who reveals himself. And as we experience in prayer, in scripture, in brotherhood and fellowship, being with like-minded brothers and sisters, as we experience this, then all the more will we be able to give witness to the power of God. So what we're inviting people to is the solution to the God-forsakenness that is so prevalent in their lives. What we're inviting people to is to the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus Christ, in the midst of a culture of death. What we're inviting people to is the joy and peace and happiness that God alone gives, which they are yearning for and longing for, and in truth, nothing else satisfies.
Yeah, Father John, it is profoundly beautiful to hear you just kind of unpacking that statement, because I think so many today are saying, you know, there's so much darkness in our culture. There's so much darkness in my workplace, in my school, maybe in my neighborhood, you know, even within families. And there's a visibility of darkness like never before. And so there's an awareness of our need for the Spirit to come and purify, awaken, restore, really for us even to be able to receive the gospel. There has to be a beautiful grace of yielding to the Holy Spirit that comes oftentimes through asking the Lord to remove obstacles, to remove lies, to remove fears, so that we can be fully receptive to the Lord working. Father John, I think it would be great for us to hear from you. You recently were appointed as chair of the Unity Team, and as chair of the Unity Team, you are working to build unity in the body of Christ, specifically within the renewal, within the church, and then even beyond ecumenically, so with brothers and sisters in Christ, mm-hmm. through the grace of our baptism. And it would be fantastic for us to hear from you both some of the vision the Lord is giving to you in prayer, and we know you just began serving in that role, that some of the vision you're beginning to receive in prayer, as well as how you see the Spirit inviting all people in the body of Christ into the 9-year novena, Holy Spirit 2033.
I could not be happier, Alicia, that I've been asked to serve on this Unity team, for I know for a fact that this is the plan of God for Unity. May I read for a minute, if I may? I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 1. I'm starting at verses 3 to 10. And just may I just allow the word of God to be proclaimed. Mm-hmm. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. That's a very charismatic kind of thing to say. As he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted us in the beloved. In him we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of transgressions, in accord with the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. And so that's almost a description of the baptism of the Spirit. In all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will in accord with his favor that he set forth in him as a plan for the fullness of times. So this is it. This is a plan of God. This is the very purpose of creation, the very purpose of reality, to sum up all things in Christ in heaven and on earth. The plan of God is unity. Unity in the body of Christ, unity among all people. And therefore, there's an anti-plan, of course, and the devil works very hard at that. And the two great, in terms of our life as Catholics, the two great sacraments that express this unity are the Eucharist, of course, and marriage. And those are two places where there's such tremendous attack by the enemy and by secular powers and authorities and ignorant people. And the truth of the matter is that we need to call people to a unity in him. And so when we experience that within our own hearts, within our own families, within the renewal, within the church, within the whole body of Christ, then the second coming is very close, I think. You know, Jesus said, the people will know, the world will know that the Father has sent me by the way you love one another. And so the unity to which we're called isn't merely a structural unity, therefore we don't have structural unity, but it is about loving one another. And that is so very, very important. One little story, for example, the Charismatic Renewal in the Archdiocese of Newark that I have some care for. We have a variety of charismatic groups that serve some of the smaller prayer groups and the like. And sometimes there's a little bit of tension and division between these larger groups. You know, they're kind of vying, as it were, for prominence, so to speak. We're human, we're not yet saints. And one of the things I say to the brothers and sisters when we gather together is that the vineyard is very, very large. We don't all have to work together, but we must love one another. And I think that's an important piece of it, so that I'm not going to let our ability or inability to work together, maybe we don't have the kind of unity that we'd like to have, maybe there's difficulties of personality or there's other kinds of differences, but we have to love one another, to love our brothers and sisters in the renewal, in the parish, in the church, and in the wider body of Christ. Our brothers and sisters who are not Catholic but are Christian are not the enemy. They are our brothers and sisters in the battle. The enemy is those who come against the word of God, those who come against the truth of healing and freedom, those who are about division and not unity. And so it's imperfect, this side of the kingdom, it is imperfect. But all I know that we need to do, each of us, is to say, how am I, and maybe we can pray this each day, Lord, give me an opportunity to build unity somewhere today, whether it be just in waving to a person and helping them have a better day, whether it be deliberately speaking about Jesus to somebody, whether it be just acknowledging the reality of another person and inviting them to recognize that they are not alone. Brothers and sisters, we are in this together, and we're going to spend an eternity together in heaven. Let's get used to each other now.
You know, Father John, I thank you for sharing just, I think, that word of encouragement to really look for and to be active in building unity. One of the things that I remember so distinctly was this passing of the baton moment. I had a 3-month overlap with Walter Matthews before he retired, and he said, you know, Alicia, it's important for you to be aware of divisions that have taken place over the years within the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And he said, you know, we have always been very intentional about building bridges, about building unity in the body of Christ. And so he, you know, he's he shared both personally and then nationally some of what he had seen over the past. And, you know, I have to say, within the first few years of serving, there is a mighty move of the Holy Spirit bringing unity that is just extraordinary. And oftentimes it begins with simple invitations. And it's that simple invitation and that vantage point of looking to build unity in the body of Christ that sparks bringing people into reconciliation or bringing people into a place where they're seeing the Spirit really, really bring about the grace of a deep awareness and understanding that we are brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, that we have mothers and fathers, that we have children in the body of Christ from all different ethnic backgrounds, from all different regions, from all different classes, from all different ages. And it's just extraordinary how the Spirit works and moves to unite. So, Father John, I think that we see, especially with the Charis Commission, our mission is to bring baptism in the Holy Spirit to the whole church, but we really see the how of our mission being to build unity in the body of Christ, because it is a work of the Spirit to fulfill our mission, and it's so grand and it's so expansive that any one group, any one person, that's, you know, it's impossible for us. It's a work of the Lord. And so it would be great for those who are joining us to hear just some of the zeal that you have in your heart for entering into this 9-year novena, taking time to really seek the Lord, to cry out to the Lord for a new and ongoing Pentecost in the renewal in the church and in the secular world. We would love for those joining us just to hear from you about your heart for the novena.
Thank you. Thank you, Alicia. Thank you, Steve. You know, a novena is, in one sense, a Pentecostal reality. The first novena was from Ascension to Pentecost, those 9 days of prayer between the two of them. They didn't know they were doing a novena, but they were. And so the notion of the novena as this intense time of prayer, this deliberate time over several days, so that we might allow ourselves to get soaked in the truth, that it might permeate our mind. And I want to encourage our dear listeners that sometimes some of our devotions become just, we just go through them. But I think some things like a novena are an opportunity for us to say, I want to bring my A game to this. I want to bring my zeal and my hope here, and to allow ourselves in the midst of praying devotional prayers to the Holy Spirit to also take an opportunity to pray in the Spirit. Seek a word of wisdom, seek a word of knowledge, seek a prophetic word, seek a biblical word that corresponds to the various themes. But to do these 9 years of prayer leading up to 2033, 2,000 years since that first Pentecost, since the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ, according to the most ancient traditions. And so this is very, very exciting that we would do this. I remember when we were gearing up for the Great Jubilee of 2000, Father Tom Forrest, who had a great impact on the renewal and on the church. And his whole thing was, we want to give Jesus a gift that more than half the world knows about Jesus, because at this point, less than half the people in the world are Christians. That's still the case. So I would encourage us to be renewed in the zeal that we want to give the Lord a gift. He wants to claim this gift. Lord, the world belongs to him. The people of God belong to him. All the people in the world, they belong to him. And we want to be the kind of people that, through the intercession of St. Paul, I think in particular, pray for those who do not see things the way we do. Pray for people who disagree with us. Pray for people, our enemies, that they become converted like St. Paul did. You know, when Jesus told Ananias, go and send for Paul, you're going to pray over him. He said, oh, no, I've heard about this guy. He's got letters. He's trying to kill us. And the Lord said, no, I'm going to use him as my chosen instrument. How often did the early church pray for Paul's destruction? I'm sure. Lord, get rid of him. We don't need him. He's causing so much havoc. And the Lord answered their prayer by converting him. How more extraordinary will that be in the power of the Holy Spirit when the people who we see as really antithetical to the gospel have the opportunity for conversion, and pray that St. Paul, and pray that every road that Peter runs, the Damascus road, as it were, that they could come and know the Lord Jesus. And what we want to do, dear friends, is witness to the power of conversion and the power of the ongoing conversion. We pray, as you mentioned, Alicia, for a new and ongoing Pentecost. That means that's not outside of me. That's within me. I need to pray for a new and ongoing grace of conversion and holiness and the desire to share the gospel and to pray and to let the scriptures come alive and with like-minded brothers and sisters and live in joy, all these wonderful things. I need to beg the Lord for a renewal of them. And so I want to encourage us, dear friends, these are very, very important times. And for some reason, those of us who are listening, who are being captured by this, who recognize the truth of this, God has chosen us. I don't know why, but for times such as this, God has chosen us to be the people that stand in the gap. Father Bob Bedard, who founded the Companions of Christ, at the Companions of the Cross, he had a great line: when enough people give God permission, then God could act. Brothers and sisters, let's give God permission to act mightily in our world, in our family, in our culture, in our generation.
Father John, first of all, I sincerely think that is ultimately the ultimate message right there, is to surrender as a people and let God's will be done. That's ultimately what it comes down to. Every time we decide to do something ourselves, we screw it up. That's human nature. We're all fallen. We all fall short of the glory of the Lord. But I want to go back to something you said very early on. You said, you know, you can't say, and I think it was Paul that wrote this, is you can't say Jesus is Lord without having the Spirit in you. At the same time, he says you can't curse Jesus if you have the Spirit in you. So something people don't understand, and I'm going to get to a question here, and it's going to be your last curveball since we're getting towards the end. But a lot of people say, well, you know what? I had my confirmation. The bishop laid his hands on me. I have the Spirit in me. Got it. I just happen to be reading a book right now by Charles Stanley, and it's called The Spirit-Filled Life. And I do want to publicly thank Cynthia from Pentecost Today USA, who sent me the book. But he makes a very good point about baptism in the Holy Spirit. He says a lot of people, they say, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they see it as, I've got these charisms. I've got 5. I've got 6. I've got 7. And they think that's what, it's almost like it's like, well, if you can't do this, you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. But fundamentally, I see that almost as a spiritual pride. So for the people that are listening, I want you to answer two big questions. One, what do we actually mean when we say baptized in the Holy Spirit? And two, what ultimately are we praying for our brothers and sisters when we say we pray that they receive baptism in the Holy Spirit?
Oh, that's a great curveball question there, Steve, and I love it. And I don't know if we have time, but I'm gonna dig
into it. I'll give you time, sir. We're not on the live. We're not live on the radio.
Praise the Lord. That's great. That's great. You know, first of all, I want to say, look at Paul's letter to the Corinthians, especially the first letter to the Corinthians, which it challenges them about their spiritual pride. And eventually he's going to say, the greatest gift is love, you know, and all these other things pass away. He also says that prophecies are imperfect, knowledge is imperfect, but when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. Well, the perfect has not yet come. We just have to look in the mirror. So I know that these gifts are still necessary for today. And I do believe that the gifts of the Spirit, there's a couple of lists of gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned, you know, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. But one of my favorite is in Ephesians chapter 4. And it talks not just about the gifts, but about the purpose of the gifts. Here, I'm at verse 11 in Ephesians 4. He gave some as apostles. See, all the other gifts mentioned are particular charisms. But here he speaks about offices. He gave some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, others as pastors and teachers, to equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood to the extent of the full stature of Christ, so that we may no longer be infants, tossed by waves and swept along by every wind of teaching arising from human trickery, from their cunning in the interest of deceitful scheming. Rather, living the truth in love, we should grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, with the proper functioning of each part, brings about the body's growth and builds itself up in love. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are given not for the gifts in themselves, but that we might come to full stature. Or as Galatians 5 speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is far more significant in our life than the gifts of the Spirit. So when we hold on to the gifts and we say that that's what it's about, I've got these gifts, and we're falling into the same trap that Corinthians did. And we need to realize that it's not about those gifts. And that's why in our Catholic understanding, we cannot say that you need to, for example, pray in tongues or speak in tongues as evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We cannot say that, because that's a gift that may or may not be given. I think everybody should be praying in the Spirit, be praying in tongues, but it's not without which there's no baptism in the Spirit. But it is about being immersed in the grace of God in such a way that, how does John the Baptist say it? I must decrease and he must increase. Well, that didn't happen for me on August 15th, 1975. Something began in that, and that's not going to be done until my eyes are closed and I'm seeing the Lord face to face in all his glory and majesty, begging for the mercy that allows me to see him in all his glory and majesty. But until then, I need to consistently grow in the grace of the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-and-done kind of thing. So, dear friends, if you're kind of thinking, well, I used to be charismatic, but now I'm this, or, you know, charismatic is baptism in the Holy Spirit. Dearest friends, don't let that grace be something about the past. Alicia, I started to read the pastoral letter by Archbishop Hebda from St. Paul, Minneapolis, about the grace of God, about all this. And I love how he talks about things, like where he says things like, you know, we're in the upper room for, he uses a couple of things. He talks about the mystery, the upper room, the mystery of the washing of the feet, the mystery of the Eucharist, and then the mystery of Pentecost. And all these moments, so we're so connected to the upper room as the place of the Eucharist, but it's also the place of the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, both in John's Gospel on Easter Day and 50 days later in the Synoptics and the Acts of the Apostles. Praise the Lord, there's so much more God wants to give us.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's great that you mentioned the pastoral letter, even as you share about, you know, how is the Lord inviting us to receive the grace of baptism in the Holy Spirit and the charismatic gifts, and to hold them with open hands as gifts, to acknowledge that this is the mysterious, glorious manifestation of the life and really the love and the power of Jesus Christ made manifest in his body mysteriously through the Holy Spirit poured out. You know, like this gift does not belong to me. It's for the body. And, you know, all of those teachings are critical, but I love there's something that Archbishop Hebda says in his letter, and he kind of concludes with this question. He says it much more profoundly and powerfully, but essentially, if you boil it down, he says, how can we allow people to leave the upper room of our parishes with the Eucharist, but without the Holy Spirit? And yes. I just thought, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this heart-piercing, beautiful exhortation. And so I do encourage, if you are listening now and you have not read the pastoral letter of Archbishop Hebda, he's in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, and he released a pastoral letter on the Feast of Christ the King in 2022, and it's just beautiful. It's a 40-page document, 50 points, very Pentecostal in nature, and he devotes about 10 pages to the mystery of Pentecost, and he concludes by recommending that everyone in the Archdiocese discover, get to know the charismatic ministries in the Archdiocese. He announces that he's appointing a vicar of charisms, and then he explains that there will be a launch of a school of the Holy Spirit, and really has done a lot of work to bring forth archdiocesan life in the Spirit, evangelization teams, and then small groups at a parish level. So there's a beautiful pastoral plan that was launched even as he wrote this pastoral letter, but it's just profoundly beautiful. So we Archbishop Hebda is a native of Pittsburgh, so we like to
claim
him as our, you know, family and a close friend of the Ark and the Dove and really of our ministry. So, Father John, you know, I know we're out of time for today, but it has been a gift to us, to all who are listening, just to spend time with you, to receive from you. And I know you opened up our episode in prayer, but it would be wonderful if you can pray for those who are listening, who are saying, you know, I'm just discovering this grace. I've never heard of it before. I would like to receive. Or maybe someone who's listening and saying, you know, I've been a leader in the renewal for decades and I want more. If you can pray for all those who are listening, regardless of where they are, just discovering the grace of baptism in the Holy Spirit, or maybe living in the grace of life in the Spirit, and just desiring an increase and really walking in the love and the power of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord our God, God our Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name, we thank you for the revelation that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, of your love. We thank you for the revelation that we have in Jesus Christ of the person of the Holy Spirit, the embodiment, as it were, of this love that now dwells within us by virtue of our baptism, is given to all those who cry out, come Holy Spirit, and who can bring life and mercy and healing and graciousness. Lord God, wherever we are, we need more. Whether the beginning of this awareness, whether we have been walking in this for a long time and are tired and don't see much fruit and are wondering what's the point, Lord God, wherever we are, or we're doing this well and we're just delighted in it, we need more. No one is able to say, I've got it all. I've got enough. Oh, Lord God, free us from that kind of thinking and come in power, Lord God. Come and reveal yourself. Quicken our hearts in prayer. Give us a delight in the word of God. Draw us more deeply to other brothers and sisters who want what we want. Give us an eagerness to share this good news and fill us with the joy of your Holy Spirit, that in each and every circumstance, Lord our God, we will be the people that have come to know you. We will be the people that have come to live our lives in conformity to you, that we would be the people, Lord our God, who have an active relationship with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so pour it on, Lord our God. Pour it on that we might be no longer orphaned. Pour it on, Lord our God, that we might live in graciousness and truth. Pour it on, Lord our God, that we would, even as our desire for you is satisfied, let it grow all the more, that we want you and long for you. And so, Lord God, I ask your blessing upon all our listeners, upon all who will hear about this podcast, upon all our brothers and sisters in the whole body of Christ, that this tremendous call to unity is in the first place unity with you. And so, Lord God, we ask this blessing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Again, Father John, thank you very much. And to our listeners, as always, we want to thank you for giving us your time. And again, we're hoping you're reaching you, reaching your heart, helping you get on the path. If you're on the path, stay on the path. Help others get on the path. It is all a journey. Don't think of it as a destination, because we don't get there till we're gone from this world. Otherwise, life is a journey. I also want to continue to encourage you to please go onto the website, PentecostTodayUSA.org. Read about the 9-year novena. It's kind of the preparation started, but the formal launch of the novena will be in May. It's a 9-year novena. Every 3 years, there's kind of a different, consider it like a growth. We're going to start at kind of the local level. You know, pray for that, you know, kind of grassroots level. And then we're going to kind of expand after 3 years to, you know, praying for the church at large and more of the clergy. And then the final 3 years, we're going to focus on praying for the world. So it's 9 years, and everybody knows, like it is written, it was a day is 1,000 years in the eyes of the Lord. So you can do it. You can pray every day for a few minutes with part of the group. Alicia, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Steve, talking about the destination, and like, we know the fullness of the kingdom of heaven. We look forward to that eternal glory of being face to face with the living God. But, you know, I think there is a grace in this 9-year novena that we can enter into praying, come Holy Spirit, at 9 a.m., the hour of Pentecost, every morning for 9 years. Hopefully everyone can say yes to that. Very simple. There are weekly prayers once a week. But, you know, I think the novena really ushers us into the grace and awareness of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is within me. The Spirit of the living God lives within me. I'm a temple of the living God. And not only that, but experiencing the graces of the fruits, as Father John shared with us earlier, of really the fruits of the Spirit, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the joy of the Lord that wells up within us. Those fruits are what we pray for as we cry out for a new and ongoing Pentecost throughout the 9 years. And so we are humbled for you to join us. We are excited for you to join us. And we're just so looking forward to how the Spirit will be poured out as we cry out to the Lord to send his Spirit. And as Father John shared on our last episode, when we pray, come Holy Spirit, the Lord always answers. There is always a yes. The Holy Spirit always comes. So we leave you with that word of encouragement. Pray, come Holy Spirit, and wait on the Lord with expectant faith for the Holy Spirit to come.
Amen. All right, folks, again, go onto our website at PentecostTodayUSA.org. And as always, have a wonderful and blessed day, and we'll see you next week.